You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
Welcome back to Legends Lingo podcast, episode 218. I know you're hearing a different voice. Welcome everybody in. Al is out on vacation. He's on school break, hanging out with his girlfriend. So yeah, it's Powder hosting this week. I have Liam Smith, who's been our producer, now our kind of our boss with Student Union Sports. And we also have JT, who is a former Student Union Sports. You can kind of give an intro for yourself, JT, if you want to give one real quick.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I was in the Student Union system, did a podcast for a little bit, not going to lie. So Liam sent me the text and was like, it's, you know, the signal was sent out. It was time to come out of retirement for this episode. So I'm appreciative for you guys having me.
Yep. We love to have new faces on this podcast whenever we can.
Yeah. I didn't want to come alone. I brought a hired gun with me essentially.
Perfect. Perfect. We have a lot to talk about this week. We have the Celtics in the playoffs going up 2-0. We have the Bruins. Tonight's Wednesday, April 19th. Bruins play tonight at 7:30, trying to go up 2-0. NFL draft is coming up in a week, and Red Sox, they still suck. They're still not that good. but we'll start off. I know Al gives a little speech about Student Union Sports, but in my opinion, I don't think it could come anywhere better than the president, the guy who runs it. So Liam, if you want to give a quick talk about Student Union, try and get more people on it.
Yeah, so I am happy to say that the Legends Lingo podcast is presented by StudentUnionSports.com. We wouldn't want to have a better Bostonian podcast representing us. I'm obviously a huge Boston sports fan, so that's where the tie-in came here. But yeah, if you want to, I know we cover mainly professional sports on here, but if anyone wants to check out the world of college sports or a world of more open takes, we're kind of a nationwide site. So head over to StudentUnionSports.com. We've got a lot of interesting content. Most recently, we've got a couple interviews with Maction quarterbacks, Avion Smith. So that'll be something cool to check out. But that's really it for StudentUnionSports.com. Again, we're so happy to have Legends Lingo as a part of the channel, and it's only been great since you guys have joined. So that's about it for that plug, but thank you for setting that up, Powder.
Yep, no problem. So, like I said, we'll start off with Celtics. Like I just said, they're up 2-0 in their series. They just won game two last night. Let me just pull up. I know they won both games. They won game one, 112-99 over the Atlanta Hawks. And they won game two, 119-106. So winning both games by 13 points. Another just impressive win last night with Tatum scoring 29 points, leading the way for the Celtics. They just kind of cruised to another victory. Just kind of want to get your guys' thoughts first on the win. Let's start JT, is his first time being here. You know, Celtics kind of strong suit with Boston sports, so let's hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when it came to like the play-in games, I was rooting hard for the Atlanta Hawks. I didn't want the Heat. You know that they bring it. I mean, Jimmy Butler is built for these games, built for the series. And so when the Hawks won, it was like kind of a sigh of relief. And you could see, you know, Jimmy Butler's given the Bucks problems as of now. But yeah, through this series, I mean, nothing too crazy out of the ordinary. I think that the Hawks are a very good rebounding team. They're a very streaky shooting team. And the one thing that I've noted just in this series so far, and I think we're going to see it throughout the playoffs, is the difference that Rob Williams makes when he's on the floor. It seems like everybody on the Celtics, like their rebounding ability just increases. But when he's not, you know, they get these second, third, fourth chances and opportunities. And that's really what kept this game close. I mean, the Celtics were up, you know, 20, I think, in the third quarter. And should have run away with it. The Hawks came back a little bit, you know, 13-point win. Nothing to complain about. I mean, as a Celtics fan, like that's, you know, you want these easy. It doesn't matter how it gets done, as long as these games get done as soon as possible. Derek White is unreal. I mean, just what he's brought to the team in the last year and a half is crazy. I think ever since he had that kid last year in the playoffs, he suddenly found a three-point shot, which is huge, because I know for, you know, the last couple of years, everybody's issues with the Celtics has been there's no bench scoring. There's nobody on the bench who can come out and contribute. And now we have that, and we have a lot of that, you know, adding Brogdon as well. This team feels good. Like, it feels different. It feels like, you know, last year we were just happy to be there. It was a great run. You know, won some big games, got some good games under our belt. But I know there was a report that came out that Blake Griffin and Al Horford had a meeting before the playoffs started. And they essentially said, you know what, guys, between the two of us, we've had three legit shots to win a title in our careers. And those are, you know, high level guys. Mm-hmm. And so now we have suddenly this mix of talent, youthful talent, guys that can only go up from here, combined with some guys who have been here before. I mean, even, you know, Tatum and Brown they're going on what, like five, six deep playoff runs at this point in their career. Like, they're seasoned veterans when it comes to this. So this team, I mean, it feels like title or bust, because everything's kind of fallen into place. And I think the big key is going to be Rob Williams staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, the sky's the limit. But so far, taking care of business. But I think that they know, you know, that there are bigger things, that this isn't just, you know, this is it. This is the year, it feels like.
Definitely. I agree with that. Liam, you have anything?
Yeah, a little bit. I can't go into as much depth as JT there, but I'm really happy with this team from what I've seen. I'm more of the casual Celtics fan who tunes in kind of second half of the regular season, and then as we get in the playoffs, I get more and more involved. But what JT said about us being deep is definitely a big factor. It's, you know, it's awesome that we have guys like Tatum and Brown that are both having awesome games. I know they've both had 25 plus point games already in this series. Yep. I think Tatum's had 20 plus each game. Been great to see them ball out, if you will, and continue to make these playoff runs. But having that supporting cast behind them is such a vital thing in playoff basketball, especially when, you know, you see all this stuff about the teams that have been, you know, load management, resting their stars and stuff like that. Meanwhile, you know, we haven't been able to do that as much, and so it's good to have that backbone. As far as going into game three against the Hawks, I think it's just it'll be interesting to see how we, if I'm not wrong, Hawks are hosting this one, so it'll be interesting to see how we perform on the road. You know, Trae Young, we've contained him pretty well to this point, but I also think I saw he had 26 one game, so, you know, to an extent. I think it's just a matter of staying composed, not letting them make a counterpoint here. But that's really my main thought on the Celtics so far. It's, you know, this has been a great team. Like JT said, we're posed to make a run. It'll be interesting to see how we perform in this first playoff game on the road. And then, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Trae Young tries to transcend and do a different level here. And because, you know, playoff basketball, a single player can really throw a game on its head. So we got to just make sure we stay tight on him.
Definitely. Yeah, so like Liam just said, the next Celtics game's Friday. It's at Atlanta. I think I said this last week with Al, but the one thing, I think the Celtics are going to win this in five at most. I think it could be a sweep, but like Liam just said, Trae Young could have one of those games like a couple years ago where Jason Tatum scored 50 against the Nets game three or whatever to win the Celtics one game in that series, but Brooklyn ended up winning in five. So that's only I think the Celtics have proven these first two games. They're a better team. They play better, and they're able to win these games, even when they have some tough moments. Kind of going away from the Celtics and kind of looking, obviously we don't want to look too far in the future, but 76ers are up 2-0. If they can obviously finish off that series against Brooklyn, I think the Celtics will play them. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts on what you think the next round could look like. Do you think the 76ers are going to be able to finish off the business against the Nets, or do you think the Nets have a chance to come back?
Yeah, I think that this Nets team, you know, that is playing right now is different than the team that kind of built the wins to get that six seed. Obviously, KD's gone, Kyrie's gone. Mikal Bridges has been playing great. But you almost feel like there's some parallels between, you know, how the Sixers-Nets series is going and how the Celtics-Hawks series is going. I mean, Mikal Bridges is great. Cam Johnson had a great game too. But I think that both teams, the Celtics and the Sixers, are built to withstand some of these teams' best punches. Because I don't think that the Hawks or the Nets can really play a full 48 just simply because of their depth, their star power, everything like that. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think the Sixers take care of business, but it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, they match up with the Celtics. I know that they've played in a lot of tight games this year. Again, if Rob Williams is healthy, that's going to be a big help. But you look at the Sixers side, they've got a lot of guys who have experience playing in the playoffs, have experience playing big games. And they've got, you know, that star power mixed in. I mean, Derek White dropped 26 in game two. And I think Tyrese Maxey dropped 29 in game two. So like they're getting production from just about everywhere, just like the Celtics are. And so realistically, it's going to come down to who makes the right play in those key moments. I think that the Celtics are the more talented team. But yeah, if you start looking too far down the road, it might be easy to overlook the Sixers team. But definitely not something that you should be doing, because James Harden's been there, Joel Embiid has been there. Both are capable of putting up great games. And so it's just a matter of, you know, can the Celtics withstand the Sixers' best punch? I think they can. But it's going to be a good series. There's going to be a couple games that everybody's going to be tuned into. Everybody's going to be tweeting about, just because I think the makeup of the two teams, it's going to be a good series.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't want to think too far ahead, like you mentioned, Powder, but if we are to end up against the 76ers, I think it is just another test for this team that, this sounds kind of redundant, but if they can't handle some of the star power on this lineup, especially when you see a veteran like James Harden, who's done it, who's been here before in the situation plenty of times, a guy like Embiid, who just feeds off big game situations and is also just one of those freaks of nature you run into in the playoffs, that mentioned about Trae Young. I'm not going to make the comparison. It's not apples to apples there, but Joel Embiid, if he loses his mind, you know, what do you do? But I think it's, I don't think would be as easy a series for the Seas, but it would be a better game to sharpen our sword on, if you will, a better series to sharpen our sword with. But that's all I really have, not thinking too far ahead into the 76ers.
Yep. One last NBA topic I kind of want to talk about before we move on is Giannis. Obviously, he got hurt in game one against the Heat. The Heat went on to win game one and go 1-0 on Milwaukee. Like we said earlier, the Heat are a scrappy team. I agree with JT. I was definitely rooting for Hawks to win that playing game so we'd play them. And I was nervous to play the Heat, even though I think the Celtics could have handled business. I still think it would have been a tougher series to open up with, which I think the Bucks are getting all of that right now. But kind of looking at it and looking ahead, or not really looking ahead, just looking at the Bucks series, Giannis is doubtful for tonight. I bet he plays, but I haven't heard anything more about it. But obviously, if he's hurt and he's not 100%, that definitely affects the Bucks and them having a chance to make it deep into the playoffs. So I'll go to JT, our basketball guy, but what are your thoughts on the Giannis injury and the Bucks' future in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of opens up a whole different conversation of the use of the charge. I know that was big on Twitter the last couple of days, because not only Giannis, but Jaw's injury too was, you know, a defender sliding in position, and, you know, both of them going up for a big dunk. I mean, that's not something that, like, I don't know. I think that, to keep it short, in my opinion, that's one of the few things that the defender has left in the game. And if you take that out, then, I mean, what can you do? How are you supposed to stop some of these elite stars from doing what they do? You know, I think that they understand the risks of, if you go to put a guy up on a poster, it doesn't, you know, you land weird. Like, things don't always come together. Mm-hmm. And so that's the at least with the whole injury part. I mean, it's a nuanced conversation, but like when it comes down to it, like the defender has to have something, or else it's just, you know, it's just a free for all on offense. And I know that's what, you know, a lot of leagues are trying to move towards, but there's got to be some things that, you know, you keep in check. But as far as this, I mean, this Heat Bucks series, this is a big game too. I think that, you know, Jimmy Butler being the guy he is, he smells, you know, a little blood in the water. If they win this today, they're going up 2-0 with three games back in their home court. And so you have to win two out of three to win the series. I think, yeah, if I'm sure Giannis does play because it's the playoffs, but you know, he's not going to be 100%. The Heat also have, you know, random guys that just step up. I think Max Strus dropped like 30 in their game against the Bulls to get that 8 seed. So there are guys that, you know, are just going to show up. Who knows? Maybe this is like the Duncan Robinson game where he's been in, you know, purgatory for the last year and a half, and he comes out and makes his appearance known, because, you know, with Tyler Hero's injury. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting series. I think we knew that that the Heat were going to give the Bucks a lot of trouble, not necessarily win a lot of games, but now with this Giannis injury, it kind of opens the door a little bit of, all right, you know, they've got a legit shot to do this. And if that's the case, that opens up the whole upper side of the bracket. And it's, you know, you've got the Knicks, the Cavs, and the Heat, one of those three teams going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So this is a big game. I expect that, you know, some Bucks are going to show up. Could see a good game from Chris Middleton, could be Drew Holiday. Brooke Lopez might get in the mix. I think the Bucks pull this one out just because it's a must win. Yep. That crowd in Milwaukee is great. I think that they really rallied around the team, and that's going to give them that edge, even if, you know, Giannis is at 70-80%.
Yeah.
So I'm not one to root for injuries, never will be one to root for injuries, but I don't want to run into the Greek Freak down the line. I know that this injury is substantial, so, you know, they get through this series, he's back anyways, regardless, but to maybe pull an old Game of Thrones reference, we got to chop the dragon's head off while it's weak. So if the Heat can take care of them right now, that would be very nice. JT said, Butler probably smells blood. Even if Giannis is playing tonight, he's probably not going to be at full capacity. But, you know, that it's tough to dig out of that hole if they get the win tonight. And even if they do, it's going to put some wear and tear on that team for the rest of their playoff run. So I am not happy that one of the best players, if not the best player in the league, is hurt right now. But, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world for the future of the whole Eastern Conference.
Well, and even if, you know, even if the Bucks do pull us out, it's going to be a physical series. It's probably going to go 6-7 games. Yeah. Then they have the Knicks or the Cavs waiting for them. Both teams, very physical, play great defense. Like, this is, you know, looking at the Celtics road, it's going to be tough. But also, it's not easy up there, too. All those teams play great defense. All of them are very physical. I mean, whoever gets out of the East is going to be bruised and battered for sure. There's just so many good teams, you know, so many top heavy teams that play good, physical, tough basketball.
Yeah, definitely agree. It definitely changes things if Giannis does not get 100% of the series, and especially if somehow the Heat pull a series off and have that big upset, and it definitely opens up things for different teams to move on. And hopefully, like we said, like Liam said, you don't hope for injuries, but if it helps the Celtics make a deep playoff run and get back to the finals again, I'm not going to complain too much. I just hope, obviously, he's healthy for the rest of his career. But, you know, if it means the Celtics are going to get a ring, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say anything. So moving on, I don't know, JT, if you want to stay on, you can, but we're going to move on to different Boston sports. But
yeah, sorry, I got to bounce.
JT, thank you for coming on, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. So moving on, Liam, we have Bruins in the playoffs too. We have Patriots draft coming up and Red Sox kind of being the Red Sox. What do you want to move in next?
Ooh, that's tough. Let's talk Red Sox, because we have a little bit of momentum right now, sitting at 500, but
yeah.
I don't have too much good or too much bad to say about it, but what topics were you thinking with Red Sox today?
Just kind of, obviously they're coming off a big walk-off win in extra innings, a comeback win. Like you said, they have a little momentum coming. They're playing at 500 baseball, and if you look at the standings in Major League Baseball, the AL East is the only division with all teams 500 or better. So it's kind of good seeing the Red Sox obviously at 500, playing a little bit better than what they were early in the season, but still, like Al's famous line, but consistently inconsistent. They are a team that some games they'll play great and will look really good and have great pitching. They'll hit. In other games, either the pitching stinks or they can't buy a hit. So kind of just what are your thoughts on the last week or so of Red Sox baseball?
Yeah, I think that consistently inconsistent is far and away the best way to put this team, because it's not like there's one obvious problem. When one side's clicking, the other side is not clicking. When our starter goes deep, our bullpen is not there for him. When our starter has a good start, our bats aren't there for him. When our bats are there, we're giving up 10 runs and having to put up 9 to 10 to be competitive. I feel like the chemistry of this team, I still could be off, but I always just feel like this team's having fun. And I admire that about a Cora ball club. It seems like he you know, treats all of his guys in a way of respect, that they all feel like they're equals and they're all out there for the common goal. With that said, you know, it's tough to be a fan of this Red Sox, and it's gotten better, but the first couple games of the season, I could already kind of feel that we were in for the same woes as last year, where it's you know, bad starts, and then so much, I call it tickling my chin, but so much of us clawing back into games only to lose by one run. It's such streaky hitting. We get the hits, we get the runs, but never when we actually need them. I was actually I'll go on a good note right now. I was very impressed with the resilience of the team last night. They beat the Twins. What was that final? 5-4?
Yep, 5-4.
Yeah, and so when we went into, I always hate extra innings, especially, you know, for however long this runner on second rules existed, because I'm a firm believer it's a rally starter, especially when you're playing the Red Sox. So when they put up two in that first half of the 10th inning, I didn't think we were going to have it in us to bounce back. And so it was just good to see the guys put together some good at bats. And then obviously that, I don't know if you caught the replay, but the highlight of that, Verdugo,
yeah,
ball, like, I thought it was foul all the way. And until they showed the zoomed in replay, I had zero clue where I would have ruled it foul, but
yeah.
Verdugo's interview at the end of that was classic, and that's how I feel like the, you know, this team's still happy. They're still having fun very early in the season. Not like we only have two wins, you know, so there's plenty of room to recover. It's all about, for me, where we are at the, if we can be above water at the All-Star break, I'm always going to be happy with the Red Sox. But like you said, incredibly stacked AL East this year.
Yeah.
The Rays are unbelievable. Those are my main thoughts on the overall season so far. What are you thinking?
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, like you said, there some games their bats are good, some days their pitching's good, and doesn't seem to align that they're both on it. But one surprise pickup for the offseason that a lot of people weren't sure about is Justin Turner, but former Legends Lingo guest Jared Carrabas tweeted this out 2 days ago. Since June 30th of last season, Justin Turner is second in the majors in batting average with a .332, fourth in on base with .412, and fifth in OPS in a minimum 300 play appearances. He's been very good. His whole career with the Dodgers, he was always very clutch, an above average all-star player for a few years. It's just Justin Turner's been there, been that consistent guy for the Red Sox so far this year, that he seems to be getting on base a lot, getting his hits when he needs, and just finding ways to help this club win. And it's just, to me, it's been a big pickup for the Red Sox this offseason. And obviously, I think most Red Sox fans will say they loved the time with J.D. Martinez. He was a great player for the Red Sox, really helped them in 2018 win the World Series. But I think the main thing is just Justin Turner, I think, is a better replacement than what J.D. would have been this year.
I think that's fair. And, you know, it's I tend to think of J.D. as you know, had a little bit more flair and a lot of money being paid to him as well. But yeah. So you see the age Turner, and he isn't quite as sparkly, if you will. But I am all on board with everything you just said. Yeah. Turner has been great. The few times we've had him in the pinch hit too, he's put in solid at bats, which is just super important, especially with this team. We don't have much. We really don't have the depth to move around like that. Yeah. So every pinch hit counts. My main last thing I'll say about Turner, you kind of covered everything there with him, but he's got to be such a cool dude to have in the clubhouse. Like, I bet he's got such awesome stories from all the years he's had, out at the Dodgers, but then just all the years he had dominating the game. So, yeah. He's got to be a good presence in the locker room as well as on the field.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So that's basically most of the stuff I had for the Red Sox. Moving along now, we'll move to the Bruins, and they're up 1-0 on the Panthers. They won their game on Monday 3-1. In just that game, to me, I only was able to catch the second period, but to me, the Panthers outplayed the Bruins in the second period, and the Bruins still were able to put up 2 goals and just go on to win that game 3-1. It just, in my opinion, the Bruins are just too good against this Panthers team that they're, I don't feel there's, even when the Bruins play bad, they're still going to play better than the Panthers. I think this is going to be a quick series, which is very rare in the NHL. I feel like most series are 6-7 games, but I just feel like the Bruins are a better team. They proved they could win without even having Patrice Bergeron, who's been, I've heard, sick these past couple games. But Patrice is not playing tonight, but the Bruins look to go up 2-0 on the Panthers tonight at 7:30. Any thoughts on the Bruins?
So it would be a disservice for me to talk about the Bruins. I wouldn't want to put your podcast listeners to that. I don't have the full knowledge that you guys do. I'm not following the Bruins like that, but yeah. I am very excited for any time a Boston sports team's making a playoff run, because I feel like it gets everyone going. And the Celtics, the Red Sox, and the Bruins all this time of year, I feel like their energy feeds off of each other as fans. So I'm happy to see this team roll. And I know Al had some points. Did we want to mention any of those? Or
yeah, I'm going to read off. Al sent us a text before we started recording. His text has some thoughts on the Bruins. Tyler Bertuzzi needs to be your sign because he'll play well with Pasta for years to come. Everything I've heard, everybody here talking cannot stop raving about Tyler Bertuzzi and how good he's been for the Bruins. And yeah, I have to agree with Al. If he's someone that can play well with Pasta, just sign him and keep this core strong. Bruins need to take advantage of power play. Florida is second in the league in penalty minutes. So yeah, I think the Bruins, let me look if I can see how they were on the power play, but don't know if I can pull that up. Quick team stats. Here we go. Power play goal. So Bruins had 1 power play goal and 2 chances. So they're 1-for-2, but I think if they keep getting chances, I think they'll hopefully keep converting and stuff like that and give themselves that advantage. Al's next point is Pasta is amazing. Of course, David Pastrnak's one of the best players in the NHL. Like Al and I talked about, I think last week, he probably in most years would have won MVP with his season, but with the year McDavid had this year, just it stinks, but obviously he's going to win MVP. And then his last point is this team is deep to the point where Bergeron didn't play and you still won pretty easily. So, like I said, I kind of hit that. with the Bruins playing well, they're even without Bergeron, they can still win. And I think once Bergeron comes back, this team's going to get that much deeper and that much stronger. So we'll see what game two has. I think Bruins are going to go up 2-0 after tonight. And one thing I loved is having the game one on Marathon Monday. You had the marathon go on. You had the Patriots Day game for the Red Sox, which it got delayed a little bit because of rain. And then you had the Bruins. I think I can only imagine what the TD Garden was like on Monday night with it being Marathon Monday and everything going on. Just I can only imagine how buzzing that crowd was. There were probably a lot of intoxicated people, but probably made that crowd very, very loud and not fun to play in if you're a visiting player.
It was probably a fun time for the fans, though. That sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely was. Before we get started on our last topic, like I say, every week, Legends Lingo is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen Bar, with the Bruins and Celtics being in the playoffs, there's no better place to grab a drink or grab a meal before or after, even during a game. You can't get a ticket and you want to be right next to TD Garden, get the atmosphere, go A&B Kitchen and Bar. They have the best burgers. They have organic meatloaf. Everything is local from right around Boston in that area. They have local beers. Even their soda is local. They're some of the best. It's one of the best spots to meet up right around the TD Garden. Then they have A&B Burgers, which is on the North Shore in Beverly, Mass. That they mainly focus on burgers there, but they also have some other different dishes. So whatever you kind of like, they probably have. And if you ever go there, make sure you mention the Legends Lingo Boys sent you. Like Al says every week, great people, great times, and great ownership. Thank you to A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers. So
next time I'm in New England, I'm so there. I hear that ad read all the time, man.
Yep. Next time you're up here, me, you and Al will meet up at one of their locations and have a nice meal.
For sure.
Yeah. So one last topic is going into next week. The draft, I'm pretty sure, is next week. So just hitting on some quick Patriots topics. Just want to get Liam's feel on kind of where the Patriots' needs are and what they feel their draft's going to look like. Just a week out, just kind of high level. What do you think about the Patriots draft coming up?
Yeah, so it's interesting, and it's always tough to kind of to project anything the Patriots are going to do in the draft, because you never know what's going through BB's head. He might trade all of our picks. He might take a guy from Lenore Ryan. We don't know quite yet. But I do know, just based on the needs, it's pretty popular across Boston sports internet, or Boston sports media, if you will. But the main need, I would say, we need an offensive tackle, we need a cornerback, and we need a wide receiver. I personally like us going for a cornerback, which I know it sounds maybe a little off kilter because we've got the three Joneses who are all, you know, all playing great, seemingly great ball. But they're all the big knock on all of them is that we don't have a guy. None of them are over 6 foot. They are all more slot guys, and we don't really have that tall height and speed. All very fast guys. We don't have that leggy speed to kind of cover the wide outs that we need to. So I do think a good target there would be that kid at Penn State, Joey Porter Jr. Yeah. So. And you know, it's a tough one, but he should be floating around right there, 14, 15, middle of the pack for us. Belichick may need to trade some picks to bump. If we do want value out of the first round, he may need to trade up a little bit. But again, you never know what this guy's going to do. So that's really my main takeaway on the draft. I'll keep it short and sweet there. I do think that a cornerback and an offensive tackle are top priorities. And if we could snag a flashy receiver, that'd be great. But, you know, I think based on our past luck with guys like N'Keal Harry, I don't mind taking a chance on a middle-of-the-pack guy.
So basically what I feel with the Patriots draft is I think they're going to go defense first round, like you said, probably cornerback. Joey Porter Jr., I definitely can see him taking. Like you said, they need a bigger cornerback to help defend against some of those better receivers in the league, a guy who can go up, steal balls from a receiver, not necessarily always getting interceptions, but at least making it tougher for a quarterback to hit a Tyreek Hill, those guys around the league yeah. that really are difference makers at the wide receiver position too. That really, if you have a bigger cornerback that kind of takes up that space, I think that's where the Patriots should go. And then, like you said, getting a receiver more later, I think that's where the Patriots succeed. I think they need someone who has a little more speed, who can get open a little bit better than the receivers they have that's more deep threat, because I think they have that intermediate pass, that short pass game pretty good. But I think the deeper option, they still need someone. And if they can get a steal where even it's an unknown guy that just has some speed that they can develop to be that receiver, I think that's a good angle to go at later in the draft. But yeah, definitely first round, second round, get that kind of shore up the defense and then shore up the offensive line and then find kind of steal in the draft or unknown guy who can play that receiver position to help the Patriots. But yeah, like you said, could definitely see Patriots trading that first round pick out because they don't see anybody they like, but I definitely see them going defense first round.
I think that's, I'd hope that's what we're doing. That is the logical yeah. thing. Bill's pulled the rug out on us plenty of times, yeah. but I think he kind of knows to play it traditional, or I'd hope he knows to play it traditional this year.
Yeah.
But, that would be, to me, the cornerback's the obvious position to fill, but I think we got to put a ban on drafting guys with the last name Jones. Just not yeah. because I hate any of the guys named Jones, but we've just got too many Joneses on the roster.
Oh, definitely.
We're starting to clash with initials. So that's my last draft take, because we can't, yeah. not saying I dislike Jonathan, Jack, Marcus, or Mac, but we got to lay off the Joneses.
Yep. But yeah, that's kind of all I have for tonight. Do you have anything else you want to add before we head off, Liam?
No, not really. Appreciate you guys having me on to fill in. I was kind of like the Brian Hoyer role where I just had to come in and complete a couple of passes and hopefully someone will sign me again next year. So it's been fun. Oh, and actually a quick shout out to my future nephew who is due Friday night, and I'm hoping he's born into a championship season. So that's it. Shout out to Aiden Smith.
Love it. Love it. Congrats to your family.
My brother and his lovely sister-in-law, or his lovely wife, Hannah, my sister-in-law. So that'll awesome. Be great.
That's awesome. Congrats to them. And we will have Al back next week. It'll be probably a pretty heavy, big episode with the Bruins, Celtics, hopefully advancing into the next round or close to advancing the next round, the draft coming up. Maybe the Red Sox are above 500 and they're playing well. But if nothing else, that's for Liam Smith filling in for Al. Thanks to JT who came on his first appearance on Legends Lingo. Hopefully we'll have him again. I'm your host for the night, Tom Powder Cadmus. And hope you guys have a great night. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Rate and subscribe everywhere. Follow us on anywhere that you can find podcasts, whether it's Anchor, SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, whatever. Wherever you find podcasts, we'll be there. But yeah, have a great night and thanks for listening.
Yes, sir.